Hi, this is Steve Johnson. I live in Garden City, Kansas, and I host Open Range on High Plains Public Radio. My topic for the Radio Readers Book Club is the original Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew mystery series. The Hardy Boys series was launched by Edward Stratemeyer of the Stratemeyer Syndicate in 1927 under the author name of Franklin W. Dixon. The series would be penned by several ghostwriters over the first 40 years, but the first and arguably the best was Leslie McFarlane, a young Canadian who was working as a reporter for a small-town Massachusetts newspaper in 1926 when he answered an ad in the trade journal Editor and Publisher seeking fiction writers to work from publishers' outlines. After writing a couple of the Dave Fearless books as Roy Rockwood Jr., McFarlane received a letter from Stratemeyer describing a new series to be called The Hardy Boys, along with a contract for the first three books. Beginning with The Tower Treasure in 1927, McFarlane penned the series until 1946 when he submitted his last Hardy Boys manuscript for The Phantom Freighter. The quality of McFarlane's writing and the warm and descriptive language is a reminder that mass-produced fiction is not necessarily artless. The downside to the original books is that they contain racial and social stereotypes that modern readers may be uncomfortable with. In 1959, the Stratemeyer Syndicate decided to revise the original Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew books, both to streamline them to less than 200 pages and modernize them for the post-nuclear age. Some called it an act of literary vandalism. In some cases, the original stories were completely gutted. The syndicate soft-pedaled the radical surgery being done on the series when, opening up a revised edition of an older pre-1959 title, readers of Nancy Drew were informed that this new modern story, based on the original title, has been written for the enjoyment of the girl of today. Hardy Boys readers were given the explanation that the new revised title enabled Franklin W. Dixon to give his readers the most up-to-date methods of crime detection. I'm going to conclude this presentation with a brief reading from Chapter 1 of the original 1932 edition of While the Clock Ticked, and I'll follow that with the same thing from the 1962 revised version. While the Clock Ticked, 1932, Chapter 1. A stranger in trouble. Joe Hardy looked out of the second floor window. "That man leaving here is certainly excited," he said to his brother. "He didn't stay long," remarked Frank, coming over to the window. "I heard the doorbell ring just a minute ago. I guess Aunt Gertrude wouldn't let him in." They watched the stranger who strode down the walk. The man seemed greatly agitated. When he reached the pavement, he hesitated, looked back at the house, snapped his fingers, stamped his feet, then suddenly turned down High Street toward the river. He had gone no more than a few paces, however, before he turned back and passed the gate once more. He was an elderly man, plump and very well dressed, with a flushed, clean-shaven face. "Looks mad about something," said Joe. "Maybe Aunt Gertrude gave him a piece of her mind." While the Clock Ticked, 1962, Chapter 1, A Mysterious Tip. "I wonder who that man is, Frank," whispered blond Joe Hardy, peering curiously from a second-floor window of their home. "He looks worried." His brother glanced down at the stranger just departing from the front door. "Let's ask Aunt Gertrude. She talked with him." Joe, a year younger and more impetuous than his 18-year-old dark-haired brother, bounded downstairs. Frank followed. "Aunt Gertrude," Joe cried excitedly. "Who was that man who just left?" For the Radio Readers Book Club, this is Steve Johnson. Thanks for listening.
10,000 words swarm around my head, 10 minutes.